Chapter 2. Giving his portraits of devils an extra touch of black. Mercy is not his strong point, however he may abound in justice, and he will not stickle at piling up the agony, if thereby he provides opportunity for enhancing the picturesqueness and completeness of the evildoers too. But this leads me to the admission that one charge, at least, does lie against the door of the riddle story writer, and that is, that he is not sincere. He makes his mysteries backward, and knows the answer to his riddle, before he states its terms. He deliberately supplies his reader, also, with all manner of false scents, well knowing them to be such, and concocts various seeming artless and innocent remarks and allusions, which in reality are diabolically artful, and would deceive the very elect. All this, I say, must be conceded. But it is not unfair. The very object, ostensibly, of the riddle story is to prompt you to sharpen your wits. And as you are yourself the real detective in the case, so you must regard your author as the real criminal whom you are to detect. Credit no statement of his save as supported by the clearest evidence. Be continually repeating to yourself, Timeo Danause dona ferens, nay, never so much as then. But, as I said before, when the game is well set, you have no chance whatever against the dealer. And for my own part, I never try to be clever when I go up against these thimble riggers. I believe all they tell me, and accept the most insolent gold bricks. And in that way I occasionally catch some of the very ablest of them napping, for they are so subtle that they will sometimes tell you the truth, because they think you will suppose it to be a lie. I do not wish to catch them napping, however. I cling to the wisdom of ignorance, and childishly enjoy the way in which things work themselves out, the cul-de-sac resolving itself at the very last moment into a promising corridor toward the outer air. At every rebuff it is my happiness to be hopelessly bewildered, and I gape with admiration when the Gordian knot is untied. If the author be old-fashioned enough to apostrophize the gentle reader, I know he must mean me, and docilely give ear, and presently tumble head foremost into the treacherous pit he has digged for me. In brief, I am there to be sold, and I get my money's worth. No one can thoroughly enjoy riddle stories, unless he is old enough, or young enough, or, at any rate, wise enough to appreciate the value of the faculty of being surprised. Those sardonic and omniscient persons who know everything beforehand, and smile compassionately or scornfully at the artless outcries of astonishment of those who are uninformed, may get an ill-natured satisfaction out of the persuasion that they are superior beings. But there is very little meat in that sort of happiness, and the uninformed have the better lot after all. I need hardly point out that there is a distinction and a difference between short riddle stories and long ones novels. The former require far more technical art for their proper development. The enigma cannot be posed in so many ways, but must be stated once for all. There cannot be false scents, or but a few of them. There can be small opportunity for character drawing, and all kinds of ornament and comment must be reduced to their very lowest terms. Here, indeed, as everywhere, genius will have its way, and while a merely talented writer would deem it impossible to tell the story of the gold bug in less than a volume, Poe could do it in a few thousand words, and yet appear to have said everything worth saying. In the case of the Sherlock Holmes tales, they form a series, and our previous knowledge of the hero enables the writer to dispense with much description and accompaniment that would be necessary had that eminent personage been presented in only a single complication of events. Each special episode of the great analyst's career can therefore be handled with the utmost economy, and yet fill all the requirements of intelligent interest and comprehension. But, as a rule, the riddle novel approaches its theme in a spirit essentially other than that which inspires the short tale. We are given, as it were, a wide landscape instead of a detailed genre picture. The number of the dramatis personae is much larger, and the parts given to many of them may be very small, though each should have his or her necessary function in the general plan. It is much easier to create perplexity on these terms. But on the other hand, the riddle novel demands a power of vivid character portrayal, and of telling description which are not indispensable in the briefer narrative. A famous tale, published perhaps 40 years ago, but which cannot be included in our series, tells the story of a murder, the secret of which is admirably concealed till the last, and much of the fascination of the book is due to the ability with which the leading character, and some of the subordinate ones, are drawn. The author was a woman, and I have often marveled that women so seldom attempt this form of literature. Many of them possess a good constructive faculty, and their love of detail and of mystery is notorious. Perhaps they are too fond of sentiment, and sentiment must be handled with caution in riddle stories. The fault of all riddle novels is that they inevitably involve two kinds of interest, and can seldom balance these so perfectly that one or the other of them shall not suffer. The mind of the reader becomes weary in its frequent journeys between human characters on one side, the mysterious events on the other, and would prefer the more single-eyed treatment of the short tale. Wonder, too, is a very tender and short-lived emotion, and sometimes perishes after a few pages. Curiosity is tougher, but that too may be baffled too long, and end by tiring of the pursuit while it is yet in its early stages. Many excellent plots, admirable from the constructive point of view, have been wasted by stringing them out too far. The reader recognizes their merit, but loses his enthusiasm on account of a sort of monotony of strain. He wickedly turns to the concluding Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.